This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Back, we are at the top of the hour. You are listening to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And it is Friday today, and we are joined right now with Karen Goldthwaite. I knew I was going to have a problem with that. I just knew it. Of Bark and Biscuit, and we're gonna and she has her dog Dakota here, and her ears just perked up. She's very sweet, and we're gonna talk about healthy biscuits for your dog, healthy treats for your dog. And there's one bone here. Well, you have a couple of them, and they're bigger than my dog.
Let me feel
Can
how
you
heavy.
See Polly, Molly with that.
Oh, it's not as heavy as it looks. You want to put her mic up there?
Yep. Ooh.
Wow. Well, I mean, it's attractive. It's eye appealing to people, which I'm going to guess is part of the equation of selling things. It's got to at least have some appeal to the owner, I think.
Exactly. So those are our jumbo bones, and they're made of our peanut butter recipe, and they're either dipped in carob or creamy white yogurt. And you're absolutely right. As far as appeal, I've been told that our packaging and our treats are, you know, very chic.
No, the gold label is very nice, and the paw, like ribbons, and the imprints on the plastic.
We take very good care of making sure that they're eye appealing, and so the outside is for the owner, the inside's for the pups. So
exactly.
Well, you know, when I started looking through your website, and I saw the Bark and Biscotti.
Yes.
You know, we had the granola lady the other day.
That's right.
But at first, I thought that was for cats.
For cats, right.
Happy cat granola for people. It is for people. So when I was looking at this one, I was I got a little bit confused. I'm like, wait a minute, is this for dogs or is it for people?
You want to try one?
It looks really
you laugh,
good.
But people have eaten them. So it's the biscotti is basically made from a pumpkin recipe that the pumpkin paws are made from, and they're decorated with carob. They look just like the biscotti you'd buy in any fine store. The funny thing is, we had a customer of ours put them in their cupboard, and their father-in-law or grandfather went into the cupboard and started to eat them. Yes.
And who broke the news to him?
She did. She goes, Dad, or Grandpa, or whatever, those are dog treats. He's like, oh.
So. Did he start barking and lifting his leg and stuff like that?
Well, said, no. I mean, when you read the ingredients,
right.
And that's where, you know, I read the ingredients. I'm like, well, we could eat all that. I mean, there's really
exactly.
Doesn't look like there's anything in there that we can't eat. So
you're absolutely right.
Have you tried them?
Oh, yes. Yep. The thing is, all of our treats are made from human food, 100% all natural. There's no salt, no soy, no byproducts, no artificial flavors, no artificial ingredients, and no preservatives.
Right. That's why we wouldn't like it as people. It would just be very tasteless.
Right. It's rather bland, except, you know, the yogurt, obviously, is a little sweet, and the carob, obviously.
But, carob, back up and tell us what carob is exactly.
Carob is a legume. It's actually, it looks like chocolate, tastes like chocolate to some extent. The dogs don't know it's not chocolate, of course.
Yes.
But it's very healthy, loaded with vitamins and minerals, so it's, you know, there's health benefits. Fits to it.
Now, you've got the large bone here for the big dogs. One half looks like it's dipped in. Would that be some kind of a carob mix or concoction?
That is carob.
Wow.
Yes.
I mean, it does look like dark chocolate.
It looks just like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even the white looks like white chocolate.
Yes.
Is that
that's
yogurt?
That's
right?
The yogurt. Yes,
okay.
That's the yogurt.
Okay. Wow. And these little paws here are really cute.
Yes, those are the pumpkin paws. They're, again, made from the pumpkin recipe. We use 100% natural pumpkin and cinnamon oats. And obviously, they're decorated to look like paws. So, again, it's the people factor. You know, they're cute. And
they're very cute.
And they're, you know, very healthy.
We had a debate, or we've been making kind of fun of the fact that everything is pumpkin this and pumpkin that, and sometimes it's just beyond what it really should be, but sometimes it's appropriate. And I think I said to you, Carol, that I thought I heard or read somewhere that pumpkin is actually very good for dogs.
It is very good for dogs.
Yeah.
I believe if people are looking to add it to their dog's diet, they should go by the general rule of a teaspoon per 10 pounds. And you could do that, you know, in a day or a week or whatever, you know, one a day, two a day. But you know, it is very good for the digestive system as, you know, as an additive to your dog's meal or on, you know, throughout the day, just give them a little on the side. But again, we use them in our pumpkin paws and our biscotti.
All right. So you have your doggy Dakota with you today. Tell us a little bit about her history, her breed, and then tell me how she is. Well, I'm going to guess your test kitchen partner.
Yes, she is. Well, we adopted Dakota from a High Kill shelter in Tennessee, and she is a mutt. She is part boxer, husky, so they say. Of course, until you do the DNA test, you really don't know, I guess. But yeah, she is our taste tester. And oddly enough, she has the white mark on top of her head that looks like a bone. And I thought, how fitting for our business. But she is very well loved.
Yeah, I know the goal. Then she said, okay, why are you looking at me?
I know. She's like, what are you doing?
No, what do you have for me? That's the look I'm getting. What do you have for me? If you're going to look at me, you better put something in my mouth.
Right. No, she's good. But she loves everything that we make, obviously. She gets whatever hits the floor is hers, you know, when you're packaging the bags and whatnot. She, you know, gets the treats, but she also gets a little bit on the side. We cut up the apples. We use organic apples and organic carrots in our treats. And she'll wait for me to cut up an apple to give her pieces of it and the carrot as well. So, you know, she's well fed.
So how long have you been doing Bark and Biscuit? How long have you been in business?
We bought the business from the original owner, but we have owned it for 5 years now.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So what made you decide to buy a biscuit, you know, business?
Right.
What made you decide that?
Unfortunately, I was one of the thousands of people who ended up in a position where we were unemployed, getting laid off from a large software company. Oh. And I'm one of thousands and thousands of people. And, you know, you go out there and the market was really tough to get into. So I was looking around and thought, let's look at something different. And sure enough, found this dog treat company that was for sale and met with the owner. We hit it off, you know, very well. And it went from there. So, yeah.
How do you find that a dog food making business is for sale? Where do you go to Craigslist? Well, I feel like buying a dog biscuit company. You're shaking your head. Yes.
Yes. Yes. It's on Craigslist.
Or, no way.
Yeah. Yeah. And but you'll see them, you know, wherever, advertised or by word of mouth even. So. Yeah.
Well, yeah, first of all, you got to make sure it's somewhat established because you're buying a brand, which means it's going to cost you a little bit more, but at least you got a better shot of people knowing what it is.
Exactly. Yeah. So
you must have had a clientele to begin with then.
Yes, we had a customer list to start with, and we've, you know, built upon that. So, you know, it's one of those things you acquire businesses as you go along, and being with New Hampshire Made, a lot of our requests for new business comes from doing the events with New Hampshire Made at the Radisson, you know, spring show that they
have. Try and buy it. So do you do farmers markets or any of those types of events?
We have in the past. It's unfortunately tough for us to get to every place that we need to be or want to be. So we try to limit ourselves to the larger events. It's just, it's, you know, a lot of work. We did the Hampton Seafood Festival at one point.
Oh.
Yeah, and that was,
massive.
It is, but it's a lot of work setting up and tearing down, and just, it was insanely busy every day, and you're just exhausted, but it, you know, it's nice. I love meeting the people. That's the best part.
It is. It's fun. Yeah. It's fun doing those events. I you know, used to do them all the time, and they're fun. They are, you know, talking with people, talking with your customers.
It's just fun to talk about dogs, isn't it?
It is. It's amazing. It's we just came back from Nantucket, and a lot of people are dog lovers down there. It was amazing. I handed out so many business cards and so many, you know, sample treats, and everybody's like, oh, you have to go there, you have to go here, you know, and into shops to try to get our business in there. So it was nice, but it's, everybody loves their dogs. Everybody has pictures of them on their phone.
I know.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I didn't get mine out yet. So you walk into a shop and you introduce yourself and you have samples. What's the close rate, would you say? Let's say you do five shops in one day. How many do you think are going to end up being customers?
It's about half and half, I'd say.
That's pretty good. Yeah. You can close half and half.
The interesting part about our treats is because they're chic looking and they're all natural and what have you, we get a lot of customers, regardless of what the shop is, whether it's a fine chocolate store or Whole Foods markets or something in between. We have like butcher shops and flower shops, and a hairdresser even wants them in her shop, so she has them.
It's true, because you know,
cool.
When you think about it, wherever you go, people have dogs.
If it's a dog-friendly establishment, that's going to be a foot in the door for you
to begin with. Right.
Did you redesign the packaging? Because we have a friend who has a spice blends company, and she bought an existing company, as you did, but she thought there were improvements that could be made, not only in some of the recipes, but in the packaging as well. Is that something that you tackled, or is this how it was?
No, excuse me. No, I didn't. I didn't change a thing. We loved, you know, the packaging as it was. And we'll continue to do it. It's just, I just think it's very high-end, very classy.
Oh, it is.
Very chic-looking, it attracts people. People come to our booths wherever we are, and they're like, this is for dogs? And it's like, actually, the packaging's for you.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But, yeah, no, I wouldn't change a thing. It works.
Now, these paws right here, which I just think those are so cute, they look labor-intensive.
A little bit. Excuse me. Yes, a little bit. The biscotti as well. You know, it's more than a couple step process. Our bones, which we all our bones are hand cut. So everything is handmade, one cookie cutter at a time. And the bones that are bagged like this are easier, the peanut butter and whatnot. But the pumpkin paws, yes, you have to melt the carob. You have to decorate the paws and the biscotti, same thing. Yeah. It's a little bit labor-intensive.
So who helps you out with it?
I have a significant other that helps me in the kitchen. He's manufacturing and shipping.
Oh.
Which is very helpful. No, I bake as well, but I do have one helper.
So what I've always wondered about dog food in general, and this qualifies as that, how do we know what dogs taste? Because we know that we see things differently. Our vision, our coloration is different. How do we know that our taste, how do you know that the dog likes it? Because dogs are not the most discriminant eaters, let's be honest.
Some are.
Yeah?
Yeah, some really are.
Now, Dakota is your taster. Mm-hmm. Is there some things that she doesn't like?
Celery, but we don't use any.
Okay.
No.
But has she ever rejected anything that you've tested? See, that's the thing. I just wonder what dogs taste, how sharp they're, because we know their sense of smell is just off the charts.
Right.
And I don't know how that translates to taste.
Well, again, some people say my dog doesn't like carrots. And when I'm doing an event or whatever, you know, I'll point them out to every, you know, variety that we have. And they're like, oh, they don't like carrots. I said, okay, how about Parmesan? Because, you know, we have a wheat-free line, which is the carrot molasses and the Parmesan. And some people have come to me and said, my dog has, you know, wheat allergies, so we obviously go to the carrot molasses and Parmesan. But if they say, you know, they don't like carrots, there you go.
How do you know that your dog has wheat allergies?
They, I'm not going to.
Don't tell me gluten-free either.
No,
I wonder.
I tell people they need to go to their vet to find out for sure if they think that the dog has wheat allergies. They, you know, get itchy and whatnot. It could be a whole myriad of things. So it's kind of like you need to go to your vet before you. I'm not going to try to, you know, decipher what your dog's, you know, allergies are. But yeah, if they come to me and say they know they have wheat allergies, then I'll tell them we have the carrot molasses, we have the Parmesan, or the apple cinnamon. Some people say my dog's a little chunky, you know, a little overweight. I always tell them the apple cinnamon is a very low fat.
Plus size. Now, let's be sensitive to the dog. I have a plus-sized schnauzer.
Yeah. You know? So the apple cinnamon is the low fat. So I guide. So we try to, you know, give people a variety to choose from.
All right. So you mentioned plus-sized dogs, my words. I'm sitting here thinking that, and you take great care to make sure that it's healthy ingredients.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I mean, you kind of hang your hat on that, which is good.
Absolutely.
There's just so many people that feed their dogs off the table or give them too many table scraps, just too much bad stuff. And I don't know if it's just they're being the dog's best friend or because they're really not in most. I mean, a little bit here and there maybe is okay. If I do it, it's not at the table. It's some unrelated time of the day, and it's just a little tiny bit. But we have fat dogs. We have oversized dogs because I think we're feeding them too much people food.
Yeah, people have a tendency to think, oh, if I can eat it, they can eat it. Mm-hmm. And that translates to an overweight dog. Not often will I tell people, you know, you really shouldn't do that. It's not my business to tell people how to feed their dog.
I know, it's hard not to say that.
Yeah, it's, you know, I tell people everything in moderation. I mean, a little steak here, you know, mm-hmm. some cheese there. That's fine. And I try to urge people not to feed them from the table.
Oh yeah, that's like rule number one.
Right. If you're gonna give them the scraps, put it in their bowl. Mm-hmm. You know, take it to their regular bowl and put it in there and let them eat it from there.
Now, even when you're talking, and actually for those listeners that are just tuning in, you are listening to Food for Thought, and we have Karen in from Barkin Biscuit. You can check them out on the web at barkinbiscuit.com. And how do you know, like sometimes I get, you know, get confused. How many treats are you supposed to give your dog a day?
Is there like good question.
You know, I mean, you know, because sometimes I don't know if Daryl's given her one, and you know, I mean, my dog is little anyway, and she expends mm-hmm. so much energy; it's crazy running around all over the place. But
right.
is there like a general rule to that?
I don't know if there's a general rule. It's more common sense. I mean, these are treats. It's if you equate it to how many treats would you eat in a day?
Well,
use that as you know, you're going to have a couple of. a couple of snacks throughout the day, then I would say that's, you know, just to use common sense. It's, again, size of the dog as well,
right,
you know.
Right.
So
when is the federal government going to step in and make you break down? I mean, I know you list your ingredients, but the caloric breakdown and sodium, you know, carbs and all that stuff. I hope it doesn't come to that, but we should be aware of that kind of stuff.
Our treats are actually listed with the U.S. Agriculture.
You actually do analysis by a professional mm-hmm. forage laboratory, which
yep.
I never heard of before.
Yes.
I mean, I know what foraging means.
Yes. So all of our treats are tested for all of the, you know, what you just mentioned, the crude protein and the, you know, fiber, et cetera. So mm-hmm. that is a prerequisite for some businesses and to be part of any, you know, major group, New Hampshire Made and whatnot. So
okay.
But it's all for the good.
It is. I mean,
it helps the consumers decide.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm.
All right. So shelf life, everything is sealed up nice and tight. You've mm-hmm. got the, you know, the resealable pouches, which, you know, everybody's pretty much gone to, which is very helpful. If I buy the carrot and molasses treats, how long, you know, is that going to stay on my shelf and the dog would still want to eat it?
We have a shelf life of 12 months.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can put it in the fridge as
how
well.
How many is that dog years?
Yeah. The funny thing is people say, really, you know, if the bag of treats lasts 12 months, I'd be really amazed.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I was going to say they probably wouldn't last that long
yeah, no.
anyway, you know.
Where can, just looking at your website, there's lots and lots of places that carry it. But for people listening, perhaps, that are not in an area that would carry some of the Barkin Biscuit products, how would they do that? Could they, do you ship stuff?
I do, yes. Yep, we ship all over the United States. And if somebody's listening and would like to learn more about our business, I welcome them to even call us. Call, email, or we have a fax, however you want to reach us. Yes, you can buy right off the website. So, you know, I'm user-friendly. If whatever works for the customer works for me.
Nice.
And special dietary needs is sort of something that you also take pride in, I know.
Yes, yeah. It's, you know, it's important. Like I said, we have a variety of different flavors and, you know, we offer the wheat-free and low-fat. We're trying to hit just about everybody that we can as far as what your dog might need or want or like. So, we take a lot of pride in what we make.
Do you want to grow the business beyond, you know, what it is now geographically, get it in more stores, more states, or do you just kind of want to stay in New Hampshire?
No, we are welcome. We welcome anybody from any state to give us a call. We do have customers in, you know, Florida and North Carolina and Michigan and whatnot. But we do offer great wholesale prices. So if you your listeners have a relative or whatever that has a particular store where they live that they always shop, we welcome them to, you know, mention our name, have them give us a call.
And gourmet treats, too. I'm thinking, what would a dog consider to be a gourmet treat? I know what people
a piece
think.
Of prime rib.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that would be our pumpkin caws, our biscotti, and the jumbo bones. And we also have pinwheels, which are, I didn't bring a sample today, but the pinwheels are made from our peanut butter recipe, and they're layered with another slathering of peanut butter inside, and then we roll them up and cut them so they look like little pinwheels.
Cool.
What is it about peanut butter that dogs just go crazy over?
I know.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny you say that. I've had somebody say, no, my dog doesn't like peanut butter. And I was like amazed. I'm like, really? Well, you know, to each his own. You know,
interesting.
But that's why we have the other flavors. So, but we take pride in our peanut butter recipe because it's only four ingredients. Not many dog treat companies or whatever can say that. Mm. It's just the unsalted, all natural peanut butter, virgin olive oil, water, and wheat flour. That's it.
I know whenever possible you like to source locally, which I think is good for people to know, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. We are.
Now, how often are you making your dog treats, like, in your house? I mean, like, daily? Weekly?
We bake probably three times a week. There's the packaging. There's, you know, there's a lot to it. The sales, the marketing. It's a full-time job.
So this is a big day for you getting out of the house, huh?
Yeah. We had a few shipments to do this morning, so we were running around mad, dropping off to Whole Foods in Nashua, and it's a busy, busy business.
I bet Christmas time must be busy, too.
It is. It is. That's the busiest time of year. We get a lot of requests for anything that we make. The jumbo bones are popular. They're attractive when you tie a big red ribbon on it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
I don't know what Molly would do with that.
I bet it'd take her a couple days, it'd be gone.
But we also do, like, seasonal things. We do, like, the moose and the bear, which are popular at the fall season. And the winter season, we have what we call the snowmen. So we do little snowmen, and we dip their top hats in the yogurt and the carob. So we package them up two to a package, and those are very popular, too. You got to remember the doggies have their stockings by the chimney, too. So
Santa doesn't forget all good dogs.
No.
And even bad ones, too.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, so I see the bear and I see the moose. Wouldn't a squirrel make sense? We just talked about that.
I've actually had requests to do all kinds of interesting. The latest was somebody asked me if I could do wine bottles.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay.
What?
Sure.
Even a cat, when you think about it.
We do, you know. We do have cat treats.
Do you?
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So.
Well, I think Dakota is ready to hit the road, and we have to take a break. And,
okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Very interesting.
And, yeah, great business. So keep it up. Sounds like you got a good thing going.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you having me in.
Yeah, thank
very
you.
Welcome.
BarkinBiscuit.com. Check it out and place your order for your dog. And you're listening to Food for Thought. We're going to go on a break, and we'll be back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7. The Pulse.
All right, you guys. Oh, sorry. Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. Beautiful Friday. And I did say Friday, end of the week. And we were just talking with Karen of Bark and Biscuit. And Dakota was in here. And now Mike is leaving. I don't know where he's going. No, I'm just kidding. So, we are live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. You are listening to The Pulse. You can also stream us live, World Wide Web, WTPLFM.com, powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And I think that Mike has some interesting news about...
Well, it is kind of cool because, you know, Jim Gaffigan has been a big part of comedy cold cuts. I would say probably two out of every 3 weeks, at least. He has one of the topics because he talks a lot about food. So, before this weekend coming up, the biggest crowd that comedian Jim Gaffigan has performed for is probably about 30,000 people at the University of Florida about 12 years ago, he says. But this Saturday, tomorrow, Gaffigan is going to be telling jokes in front of over 1 million people, including, you want to guess?
The Pope.
The Pope.
No.
Yes. Best-selling author, Dad is Fat and Food, a Love Story, and the star of TV Land's Jim Gaffigan Show is the only stand-up on the bill for Philadelphia's televised Festival of Families, which also features Aretha Franklin, Andrea Bocelli, Juanes, and the Philadelphia Orchestra. That's pretty cool to be picked out of.
That's amazing. I mean, that it's kind of a little odd, I think.
Yeah, it is. But I guess if they want to throw, you know, mix it up, you got an opera singer, you've got a pop soul singer, you got the orchestra. So why not throw in some comedy? Yeah, and you know, he's clean because he is clean.
Right, definitely.
There's not even a comedian I can call and ask how to stand up in front of a million people, says Gaffigan. It could only be an opportunity to bomb in front of my children, my religious leader, he's Catholic, and CNN. Here's how Gaffigan plans to survive the set before an audience that doesn't all speak English, including the pontiff. He doesn't speak English.
Well, he practiced it.
He may practice, but if you listen to all the speeches.
I thought he did pretty well.
Not much of it. I mean, I think speaking English or understanding it fluently when somebody talks fast is two different things. So he probably can speak serviceable English, but I don't think, you know, when you understand the culture is different and jokes and stuff like that, it'd be a little bit tough. So here are the different categories of things he has to consider because he is speaking in front of a million people. Most of that probably will be, televised or internet. I don't think there's a million people in one place, although I could be wrong. So first of all, point A, understanding the gig. About 6 months ago, Gaffigan agreed to perform at the Philadelphia event. At the time, however, he thought he was RSVPing to observe amongst the other hundreds of thousands of attendees. It wasn't clear, he says, or maybe I didn't read the email. Once Gaffigan realized his mistake, he said, quote, maybe I could do 20 minutes. Next point, repurpose some material. Instead of writing new jokes specifically for the religious crowd, Gaffigan already has some material that could work. He says, I have a fair amount of jokes about the Pope, about seeing the Pope, and tons of material about being an uninformed Catholic and my wife being a Shiite Catholic. End of quote.
Oh, my God.
Open with an introduction. Many of these people are going to have no idea who I am, he says. I'm following Aretha Franklin. So Gaffigan thinks he'll open his set with an introduction of himself and his five children. But, quote, I'm also going to have to figure something else. There's definitely an element of going with the flow. Next area he addresses, get ready to bomb. He says, there is the possibility of complete disaster that is alluring, he says. To avoid total failure, I'm going to attempt to be the easiest guest they have at the show, says Gaffigan. Even if I bomb, I'll bomb with humility. People will leave going, he was nice. I could just hear him saying that.
You know, that is so cool.
Think about how you have to consider that. This is not him walking into the Wilbur Theater in Boston here in a couple of weeks and doing a show for, 1,000 people in a very intimate, conducive place for comedy. The Palace Theater is one of the best places I've ever seen comedy done because it's just such an intimate acoustically friendly place. It's warm. It's got such character. But a million people, and now I'm getting the feeling there might be a million people in this massive area that he's going to be talking. So, and finally, his final point is allow for improvisation. Comedians will tell you the larger the room, the more difficult it is. I can believe that. After 30,000, there reaches a threshold where no rules apply. Does that mean the comedian will do his signature Hot Pockets bit in front of the head of the Roman Catholic Church? He says, I don't rule anything out.
Whoa.
And I think we've played the Hot Pockets bit. I can't remember the gist of it. But so there you go. Jim Gaffigan. And I'm sure there'll be television coverage of this. So you hear us talk about the guy all the time.
I know.
You know how much we love him because he fits the comedy Cold Cuts profile. And as I told you earlier, he will be doing a bunch of shows, at least six, the last week of October at the Wilbur Theater in Boston's Theater District right there, downtown Boston. So I think there's tickets available still for some shows, but he sold three or four of them out right away. And so they kept adding shows.
Why they increased.
I'm thinking of going, but I got stuff every night that week. It's, it's stupid why I'm staying this busy. But anyway, That's the interesting news about
that
Jim Gaffigan.
Really cool.
He's the one comedian selected to perform to the Pope. You bet it is.
So that's tomorrow?
Let me see here. I think you said tomorrow. I think you may be right. I think I'd remember it. Yes. This weekend sometime. Yeah, it doesn't say. Probably is tomorrow, though. because the Pope has to say Mass on Sunday, and you know, you can't have time for a comedian. Anyway, so let's take a break. And do you want to do a trivia question here to wrap up the hour?
Definitely.
The category is food. The category is food pictures on the internet. So that's kind of where we're going to be going with
that. All right. And maybe people want to just jot the telephone number down right now before we go on break. 866-823-1077. And I know someone will be calling in to talk to you, too.
Okay.
So,
all right.
We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 1077 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. At the Beacon Building, it is Friday, and Mike, right now, we just had Bark and Biscuit leave, and she was very kind enough to leave Mike and I a package for our dogs, and...
I'm going to try one.
Never before on the Pulse, I think.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm not sure. I don't know if Peter and Ken would do this.
I don't know. Karen Goldthwait, Bark and Biscuit owner, and... creator of all kinds of great healthy treats for dogs.
Listen to you just whipping off her last name like that.
Well, I'll tell you what, because there's a comedian named Bobcat Goldthwait, and and so it's a name that I've just been able, I've been saying for 30 years.
Okay.
You know, so Goldthwait. All right, here we go. So I have the cinnamon apple dog biscuits. The contents, whole wheat flour, apples, water, oats, honey, cinnamon. Sounds good.
Okay.
Doesn't look too bad.
Mike's going to eat one.
I'm going to try one right now.
He's going to try one.
All right.
Oh, wait. I get this is a picture opportunity here.
Well, it's very crunchy.
I told you it would be crunchy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wish I had some milk to dip this into.
Oh, my goodness.
Want to try a piece?
Nope.
Why?
Nope. I just would not. I don't know why, really. I mean, she does list the ingredients, and there's nothing bad in
that. Let's be honest. This is something that you just wouldn't eat normally.
No.
Because it doesn't have a lot of flavor, but you know what? It's not geared for me. It's geared for my dog. So Basha will enjoy it. And it is edible. We talked to her about that. People have eaten their food. I ate horse food once, which is like the kibble is so much bigger because obviously horses are large animals. So you know what?
Must have been like a baseball?
If the end of the world comes. No, it wasn't that big. If the end of the world comes, I'll be able to dig into my cabinet and have some of these dog biscuits and survive the apocalypse.
I'm happy.
It's the shelf life.
Yeah, the shelf life is about a year, J-Dog, she says.
All right, so the world has a year to come to an end.
Basically, yeah. The dog will probably finish him off, though, before then.
Have you been on the board the whole 2 hours?
No.
You just got on, right?
I just got here, yeah.
Ah.
All right, let's do a trivia question. So get ready, J-Dog, to take some calls. Carol, what do we have for a prize? Oh, we have nothing?
Sure we do.
She was speechless.
I am speechless.
She was
because I put a bite of my pizza in my mouth.
She wouldn't eat the dog food, but she'll eat the cold pizza. All right.
Cold pizza with figs on it. Mm. Really good. Okay, we do. I can certainly give
some Red Arrow stuff, maybe?
Definitely. Red Arrow and Jay's Tavern. I'll see what else is sitting on my desk. So,
all right.
There'll be a great package.
Okay, very good. Thank you for that, Carol. Here is the question. With just about 5 minutes left to go in the show, the category is most photographed food on Instagram. Now, Instagram, I know everybody knows Facebook and Twitter. Instagram isn't hugely different. You know, it's photos and you make comments and stuff.
Yep.
So here's the category, most photographed food on Instagram after pizza. What is the most uploaded food picture around the world?
Ooh.
Pizza is the number one, which doesn't surprise me at all. The most photographed food on Instagram, and that's, you know, millions and millions of people that are on that social media site. What is the second most uploaded food picture around the world? And the phone number is?
866-823-1077. And the winner will win a great package with Red Arrow stuff, Jay's Tavern stuff, and whatever else I have on my desk upstairs.
Okay.
That'd be a good package.
While we wait for callers, packaging food is very important. We talked to our guest, Karen Goldthwait, just a few moments ago, that her food packaging is meant to appeal to people. You got to sell it to the owner because the dog doesn't carry money.
Right.
So it's very attractive looking. And, you know, when you think of Coca-Cola, you think of the red, white, and then the white swirl and the kind of flowing letters. Well, recently they've kind of changed their marketing strategy by making personalized people's names.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
Very
right?
cool.
Now, do you think that was a smart idea?
I think it was very smart.
You're right about that.
People go in there and they search search for your name.
It's like when you're at the airport and you see a coffee cup and you think, well, I didn't buy anything while I was here in Indianapolis. I better get something and bring back Susie a coffee cup. Do we have a guest?
We do. We have Donna from Concord.
All right, Donna, here is the question. After pizza, what is the most uploaded food picture around the world on Instagram?
Burgers?
It is not burgers. It is not any kind of a meat.
All right.
Okay. There's a little hint.
Thank you. In fact, it's something that typically is eaten raw. Think globally. More so probably in other parts of the world.
Oh, okay.
All right. So you got it. All right. So where was I? All right. So I was telling you the story on how Coca-Cola is. We've all seen the individual names. We'll take another call. I'll continue the story. Hi, WTPL, The Pulse, Food for Thought. What is your guess?
Ron from where?
How you doing, Ron?
Hey, great, guys. I'm just going to take a wild stab at, I'll say, nachos.
It is not nachos. No. No, not pizza, not nachos. In fact, it is something that is, I will say it is a foreign food as opposed to, say, American. So you're right in that sense that it's kind of Mexican, but think in a different category, and it's typically eaten raw. Okay.
Got it.
Okay, all right,
guys,
Ron, thanks for your guests. Have a good weekend. So the you were right, Carol, the doing the names on the Coca-Cola cans has increased their sales 2%. Now, that may not sound like a lot, but when you think about how much product they sell.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Wouldn't you take a 2% increase? I mean,
definitely.
Take that all day. So along those lines, Snickers has, if you've seen their TV commercials.
No.
They, there's the one with this, like the Brady Bunch with the guy that's the Hun, and it's the Marsha commercial. Let's grab a call here and I'll continue with the Snickers
Kevin
one.
Kevin from Manchester.
Kevin, hi there. What do you think, buddy? What's the second most photographed uploaded food picture on Instagram after pizza?
Would it be sushi?
It would be sushi. Yes.
Whoa.
I would not. I mean, I knew it when you gave the hints, but
yeah.
I wouldn't.
That was a key.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we kind of had to move this along. But when you think about it, the majority of the world doesn't eat the kind of food we do because there are a lot more people that I think prefer Asian cuisine than do hamburgers, hot dogs, pizza, nachos. And so that is the second most uploaded Instagram food picture is sushi. You are correct. I'm sorry to say we don't have a plate of sushi, though. You can't get that yet at the Red Arrow.
No. Very good. Get a hamburger, though.
Yes, thank
right.
you.
Oh,
thank
the cops
you.
Are coming to get you. You better hide under the bed.
I know. I'm the Elliot.
Oh, you do? Oh, okay. So you hear sirens all day, right?
Oh, gosh.
All day.
All right. Well, stay on the line, and we'll J-Dog will get your information, and Carol will get that out to you. Red Arrow gift certificate.
Thank you very much, Mike and Carol.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. All right. So to wrap up the Snickers thing here before we wrap up the show today, they have Snickers is having some fun with its packaging, except the candy bar is forging into a different path from Coke. Instead of going for the aw shucks moment, Snickers bars now express a hunger symptom in place of Snickers on the label. But they aren't exactly flattering terms. The list includes cranky, snippy, ornery, impatient, whiny, drama mama, princess, and feisty. The new packages are called Hunger Bars, and there are 21 different Hunger Bar symptoms in all. So there you go.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so
that
next time you're in a store, look at the Snickers bar, because they've been playing with that, not yourself lately. Have a Snickers bar. And so they've kind of watched for the Brady Bunch parody where they actually have Mr. and Mrs. Brady, you know, obviously just pulled off from one of the episodes, and they have Steve Buscemi who plays Marsha, and then they've got this guy with a huge hatchet that puts it down on the coffee table. Funny stuff. So congratulations, good guess.
All right. Well, we are at the end of Food for Thought. It's Friday, and
I will not be here Monday. I'm moving on. I've got a lot more writing assignments to do. So thank you to Carol for having me as her co-host for the last 6 months. It has been so much fun.
It has. Thank you very much,
Mike. It's been my pleasure. I've really enjoyed it. Thanks, Carol.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for everything.
Thank you, J-Dog. See you around. I'm not leaving. Just doing other stuff.
We'll see everybody next week.